If I can have your attention here in the media center and up in the press box, we are joined by today's race winner of the 17th annual Hollywood Casino 400, and that is none other than Martin Truex Jr., driver of the number 78 Bass Pro Shops Tracker Boats Toyota for Furniture Row Racing. I know this has been a roller coaster 24 hours for the team, Martin, but let's focus on the positives. Today, you won for the seventh time this season. You led more than 2,000 laps in this season. You became the first driver to win four consecutive races on mile-and-a-half tracks. Big day for this 78 team. How wild and wonderful is this season becoming for you?
It's still unbelievable. I just got to pinch myself, you know, when some of these days just it's just unreal. Really proud of my team, really proud of everybody, and just a dream come true to drive for them and just do what we've done all season long. So today was a challenge for sure with all the obstacles we faced and all the adversity we had to deal with. But, you know, we just kept our heads down and kept fighting and, you know, found ourselves in the lead late and took advantage of it. So happy for everybody, all my guys. I know it was a tough day for them, you know, losing one of their teammates last night. And, you know, for all of us just coming together and talking about, hey, let's go win this one for Jim. And we did it. So feels good and really proud of everybody just for getting through it and having each other's backs and holding each other up and getting out there and getting the job done.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. We'll start with Brendan, then go to Bob, and then to Sean.
Oh, there it is. Hey, Martin. Brendan Mark, Charlotte Observer. You said in Victory Lane that you got a text from Cole late last night. What was last night actually like for you? Did you get any sleep? I mean, what all went down from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, Cole texted me at like 11:15 or something and said, you know, I'm at the hospital. Jim just had a heart attack and they lost him. They couldn't get him going. So I was like, oh, my God, it's awful. Is there anything I can do? He's like, no, we're all here. There's nothing we can do. We just want it to be here. And so I thought about those guys a lot, obviously, last night, you know. And I don't go to bed too early anyway, so I had a little bit of time to think about it and just you know, just a shame, you know, to see 55 years old to have that. You know, he's got family at home and it's definitely hard to deal with that, but you know, it's part of life, unfortunately, and we got to move on. And today, the best we could do was win for him in his honor, and you know, just celebrate his life and what he meant to us and the job he did for us.
Next to Bob, then to Sean.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. How well did you know Jim? I know there's a lot of guys on the crew and stuff, but
sure.
I was curious, how well did you know him? And considering what you've been through, you know, the last few years with Sherry, does that help you kind of manage something like this?
Honestly, I didn't know him really well. I don't know if I've ever had a really conversation with him more than three or four words, you know. He was kind of a guy that worked between both cars, 77 and 78. He was kind of our track fabricator. So, you know, he doesn't, you know, I didn't see him a whole lot. He was just kind of bouncing around. But, you know, still he's part of our team, and he's part of, you know, what makes us who we are. A lot of our guys are really close with him. So it was definitely a lot harder for those guys on our team than it was for me. But, you know, again, I think we all come together in times like this, no matter what it is. And, you know, certainly I was there if there was anything I could do to make it better on anyone. But definitely there was some guys on our team that it hit harder than others that have, you know, grew closer to Jim and his time at Furniture Row. So, you know, for me personally, I think that over the years I've definitely got better at, you know, being able to get in the car no matter what's going on out in the outside world or in my life, to get in there and focus, turn my focus to just what I have to do in the next couple hours. And, you know, it's just another example of doing that and focusing on my job and just trying to block out all the noise.
Go to Sean, then to Todd, then to Jerry.
Sean Roney, Dos Mundos newspaper. I'm turning to some other tough stuff that you've had to deal with at this track. If memory serves, the last time that you raced here, the race went to red when there was the big pileup and Eric Almirola had to be extricated from the car. You feeling a sense of deja vu on lap 199 when the race goes briefly under red and then it goes to caution?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's two races here in a row that we've had one huge wreck, and I was like, I seen it happen, right, literally happen right in front of me, the start of it. And then I seen them all crash in my mirror as I made it through there, and I was like, I figured that when I got back around to turn two that it was going to look like a Talladega crash, just cars everywhere and scrap metal and cars and piles, and it's crazy. Just it was one of those deals where, you know, the way Eric spun, he just, you know, he was running like third, so he was at the front of the pack, and everybody was real tight coming off of two, and this place is so fast, it's pretty hard to slow down. So at, luckily for us, we were on the bottom and still barely snuck by, so definitely pretty wild to have two big giant crashes like that here in two races.
Go to Todd, then to Jerry.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the thinking and swapping cans in Talladega is to avoid stuff like that.
Right. I'm telling you. Didn't avoid it.
How nice was it, though? I mean, there was so much drama, you know, as the race unfolded, with Jimmy and, you know, with Kyle and with Ryan being cycled to the back of the pack, and then with everything that happened with Kenseth. Was it nice to be able to kind of be above that and not have to worry about that cut line? And then I also wanted to know, how familiar were you with the seven-man over-the-wall rule? And in a situation like that, how easy would it be for a mistake to be made?
I'm not real familiar with the rule other than hearing about it the last couple of weeks, especially, you know, because it was talked about at Talladega with guys trying to fix their cars and the 48 having their issue and all that stuff. So it's definitely come up more frequently these past few weeks. So I guess we're more aware of it now. And I'm sure it's something that Cole has his arms around and understands and makes sure our guys understand. But, you know, situations like today where we had to fight through all those things and all that stuff happening, it's definitely easier when you know you're locked in and you don't have to worry about it. You know, had we been on the cut line or my plus minus a few points today, it would have been a lot harder to deal with what we had to deal with. So, you know, the next couple of weeks it's back to not being locked in, and you never know what can happen. So this was definitely good practice, honestly, to face the adversity and know we can get through it, which we've had this happen a few times this year. Chicago comes to mind, I think, when we had some issues and had to come back through the field to win that race. So anytime you get to practice and be successful at coming through a lot of adversity during a race and being able to go to victory lane is a big confidence booster for the times when the pressure's really on.
Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, Performance Racing Network. The guys that are out now, two of them, one of them, Matt Kenseth, the other one probably your biggest, closest competitor with Kyle Larson, and the guy that was probably the favorite to do the best at Homestead. How do you feel? What kind of relief do you have? Or does it suck that you're not going to get to battle with him for the championship?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Again, I mean, I don't know. There's no guarantee we'll even get to Homestead yet. So one race at a time. You know, you look at me like I'm crazy, but Larson was plus 20 what today? 29? He was second in points. He didn't make it. So, I mean, where did he finish last week? 15th? Talladega, 13th, 15th. So nobody's – I've been saying it all year. Everybody looks at – they all say I'm a lock because I got so many playoff points. But I'm telling you, it's not that simple. We got to go out and perform. We can't have an engine failure. We can't get a crash five laps into Martinsville. We got to focus on one race at a time and do the best job we can do and try to keep the momentum going. So to answer your question, I really don't care who I'm racing at Homestead. You know, if we can go there and do what we know how to do and get the job done, we'll take care of ourselves. So I'm looking to go there and try to win my first race that I've ever won there. No better time to do it than now.
Back to Todd.
Todd Palmer, Kansas City Star again. Cole said that you guys were kind of talking about Jim apparently in the drivers' meeting when they mentioned not being able to restart below the line. So how surprised were you when you got that penalty? And what are your thoughts on, because the four car followed you down, but he did not have to go to the back of the pack. Any thoughts on the way that all played out?
Yeah, it's just the way it is, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, but I don't make the rules. I don't call them. In the spring, we did that multiple times during the race and never even received a warning. And I guess if they said it in the driver's meeting, I need to pay better attention.
They said it, so I just didn't know.
I didn't hear it, so I guess I need to wake up earlier.
We have questions up in the press box.
I definitely didn't hear it. Huh? It did affect us a lot. It cost us a shot at two more points. So, yeah, you got to get all you can get.
Questions from up in the press box?
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Martin, I just wonder if you could comment on becoming the first cup driver to sweep a weekend at Kansas.
It's amazing, honestly. I mean, I think back to really throughout my career here at Kansas and the runs that we've had and the laps that we've led and, you know, heck, even back when I was running for MWR and we hadn't won a race yet and we weren't having the greatest season, we'd led the most laps here and had a heartbreaking loss. So it's crazy how it works out. And you go through all those years of heartbreaks and leading laps and you're like, what do I got to do to win here? To today having, you know, having a penalty and having a loose wheel and having to come from a lap down. And it's like, you can't do anything wrong. I mean, I kind of see that. You know, when you watch the 48 win five championships in a row, and it's like they couldn't do anything wrong, and it really pissed you off. Well, I guess a lot of people are tired of watching this. A lot of the people are like, God, Truex won again? What the heck? You know, so it's really neat. It feels unbelievable. And we're having the time of our life, and I think we understand that we are, and we're just soaking it all in. So it feels amazing, and it feels good to be on the right side of things for a while here.
Any additional questions from the press box?
None at this time. Thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate you.
Todd, and then to Jerry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. What?
Thought you were letting me go.
We're not done with you. I mean, you're the 12th guy in the modern era to get to 2,000 laps led. Now on the single season record, you broke a tie with Carl with 5 mile and a half wins, and you broke a tie with, I believe, Tony Carl and Casey Kane for most consecutive wins, 4 in a row on mile and a half now. Any significance to any of those for you? I mean, I know it's probably something you'll think more about after the season looking back, but are those some pretty nice milestones to check off?
I think they're huge. Yeah, absolutely. To win more mile and a half in 1 year than anyone, that's just crazy. It's a craziness. I mean, it reminds me of last year, all the miles we led in the Coke 600, and that no one had ever done that in the history of the sport. Just to be doing things like that this day and age with the competition level the way it is, how close everyone is just, it's unbelievable. It's a credit to my team and all our partners and everybody, honestly, who makes this possible. And it just shows that we just have the right combination right now. And I don't know. I don't know how, why, or what, but it sure does feel good.
Jerry, then to Bob, and then we'll wrap here with Sean.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTires.net and Performance Racing Network again. Since you say I'm crazy about
locking, you are crazy.
Since I'm locking into Homestead, what's the next? You got 3 in a row coming up. What's the next track that you think you probably have the best shot of getting a win and locking yourself in?
For sure, Texas. I would say the next round, Texas sticks out to me. You know, the repave, mile and a half. But similar to Kentucky, I would classify it. You know, mile and a half with newer pavement, flatter corners. It's a challenging place for sure. We ran decent there in the spring race, but feel like there's some areas where we know how to get better from what we did there. So I'm optimistic that'll be a good one for us. But Martinsville is a challenging little track, and it's been one of the tracks that I feel like we've been chipping away at and getting closer, and we've been kind of knocking on the door of those top fives consistently in speed. And our short track program's really gotten a lot better this season as well. So I'm looking forward to going there and just hopefully having the best race we've ever had there. That's what we need to do, and that's what we're working towards next week.
Bob.
Bob Hocker, ESPN. How would you characterize the mood of your team today before the race? And if you had come into this race having – like being in a position of like Jimmy Johnson or Kenseth in the points, would it have been difficult?
Like I said earlier, it's definitely easier to deal with a day like today when you're locked in. You don't have to worry about, you know, whether it's the news about Jim and the somber feeling around the team and just everybody kind of feeling like they're dragging a bit today, or just the adversity on the racetrack. All those things are easier to deal with, I guess, when there's not, you know, not your whole season's not on the line, I guess. But it's still something that you have to deal with, and I thought everybody did a good job of getting through it. What was the first part of your question? I forget now.
So it's kind of somber.
It was, yeah, I would say it was, but it was also kind of in a quiet, fired up fashion, like, let's go kick their butts for Jim. You know, let's go do it for him. So it was a little bit of both, I'd say.
Sean.
Sean Roney, Dos Mundos newspaper again. Because you mentioned the 48 car, I'll bring him up again. I'm guessing it's no big shock.
He made it again, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Spinning through the grass, still going on. Transfers.
Yes, no big shock that he did what he did today, huh?
No, it's not. Simple as that. It's not a shock. Well, I'll tell you what is shocking, though, that the 42 car lost an engine. That's very shocking.
Well, Martin, it's certainly not shocking that you were joining us here today, and good luck on your quest to get that championship.
Thank you guys very much for the second time.